So if we were friends, which we're not, but if we were, and you said to me, hey, Mark, I know you like horror films. What suggestion would you have for to give me a creep for the holiday? That's when I created the 25 best horror films for Halloween, in my opinion. So let us begin. And by the way, some of these clips are a little disturbing. The young people might not want to be around this.
Oh, wait. Let me turn off the lights. I'm going to turn off the lights.
Oh, there he goes.
Let me know when you're done.
All right, we're ready. All right,
go, y'all are go. Funny.
Number 20.
Here we have a quiet little motel, when in fact it has now become known as the scene of the crime.
You have a vacancy?
Oh, we have 12 vacancies.
You know, this is the first place that looks like it's hiding from the world.
I think that we're all in our private traps, clamped in them. And none of us can ever get out.
No.
Now, I had to include Psycho. It's obviously a classic, but I wanted to take you back to 1962 and take a look at how big this was. This movie is based on the life of Ed Gein, who his mother had passed. They were abnormally close, and he couldn't stand it. So he dug her up, laid her in his bed, took care of her, talked to her, and then whenever he would become sexually turned on, he would go kill a woman.
Wait. This is based on a true story?
Yes.
This is the first time hearing of this ever.
Ed Gein. Wow. That's his name. So now, you got to understand that in 1962, Norman Bates removed a painting from the wall where he had cut a hole, and he could see through the hole, and he watched Janet Leigh's character get undressed, take a shower. It turned him on. So mommy had to go kill her. That's heavy. It's one of the first films that went that deep into sexual deviant behavior. And so I can only imagine how I can only imagine how shocking that must have been. But the reason that I included it is because the movie is so well acted and so well directed. It is, if you haven't seen it in a while, feel free to dust it off. It is absolutely brilliant.
Is anyone at home?
No.
Oh, there's somebody sitting up in the window.
No, there isn't.
Oh, sure. Take a look.
Oh, that must be my mother. She's an invalid. It's practically like living alone.
Oh, I see. Now, if this girl, Marion Crane, were here, you wouldn't be hiding her, would you?
No.
Not if she paid you well?
No.
Let's just say for the sake of argument that she wanted you to gallantly protect her. You'd know that you were being used, that you wouldn't be made a fool of, would you?
But I'm not a fool.
Well,
and I'm not capable of being fooled, not even by a woman.
Well, this is not a slur on your manhood, I'm sorry.
Let's put it this way. She might have fooled me, but she didn't fool my mother.
Now, there's one thing that I want you to notice if you rewatch it. And that is the power of Bernard Herrmann's score. It is an actual character in the film. It is so brilliant that I want you to notice it if you rewatch it. This, of course, is the famous shower scene. The shower scene, the murder of Lee's character in the shower, is the film's pivotal scene and one of the best known in all of cinema. It took 7 days to shoot the shower scene. It features 77 different camera angles. The scene runs only 3 minutes and includes 50 edits. The blood in the scene is, in fact, Bosco chocolate syrup.
And from what I understand, Alfred Hitchcock wasn't exactly easy to work with. And one example of that was he turned that water so ice cold so she would scream her head off over and over again.
Well, wasn't you, Mark, that told me, where did I hear this, that Hitchcock's wife read everything?
Oh, yeah.
And
oh.
It was her insistence that the score.
Yeah. He initially was going to show the shower scene with no music, and she insisted because she rewrote every script he made.
Wow.
and she insisted on it, and therefore you get the classic shower scene that we now know.
Wow.
All right, I'm really pumped about this one.
Number 19.
is a film called, and you've never heard of it, 1408. It stars John Cusack. His character's daughter died at a very early age, and he is so distraught, his wife leaves him, and he decides to start looking into ghost hunting. He goes to supposed hotel rooms that are haunted, and he, of course, experiences nothing. So he starts writing books about the hotel rooms that he goes and checks out. And, you know, if you want to get spooked, go rent this hotel room. One day he goes to the post office and he gets his mail. Somebody has sent a postcard from the Dolphin Hotel, and they simply wrote room 1408. So he calls the hotel and he says, I'd like to rent 1408. There's a long pause. And they say 1408's not available.
Oh.
He said, well, how about if I take it Wednesday? It's still not available. How about next month? It's still not available. So he gets an attorney, and the attorney says they must rent you the room. So he goes to the hotel and has a confrontation with the manager.
When Mike Enslin lost his daughter, the afterlife became his obsession.
You probably want to hear all about our haunted history.
But after years of searching, he no longer believes.
So you're saying there's no such thing as ghosts?
I'm saying I've never seen one. Nothing would make me happier than to experience a paranormal event.
Gerald Olin, manager of the Dolphin.
I can just get the key to 1408.
In the 95 years of the hotel's existence, there have been 56 deaths in 1408.
56?
No one's ever lasted more than an hour. The first victims to Kevin O'Malley.
Cut his own throat.
Do not stay in that room.
His insistence to stay.
Good pause.
Yeah.
His insistence to stay in 1408 was a bad call. It was a bad call on his part. This was a movie that nobody saw. It's a really good ghost story.
Well, and that's just bad business. I mean, you'd think after 56 murders, maybe they'd take over with new management or...
Or change the business plan to Murders Are Us.
Right.
Know, something.
So if you like ghost stories, this is one that I don't think many of you have heard of.
Yeah.
John Cusack, who I'm a huge fan of. This movie really brings the spook for Halloween. 1408.
Number 18. Where is it?
The house looks just like the one next to it. And the one next to that. And the one next to that. A young couple live in it.
Give Ken a kiss.
You are so obnoxious.
With their three children.
Of course you don't have to chew each bite, Tim.
Had to include Poltergeist.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Of course
you
did. Poltergeist holds up so well because this thing drips of Steven Spielberg, though he didn't direct it. Poltergeist is about a house possessed, and it is so well done and so well made that you watch it. The special effects are good enough, but the acting is killer. Basically, the house is possessed, and the house takes their daughter. They can still hear her.
Caroline.
She's in the house, but they can't get her. They can't find her. They can't see her. So they bring in a specialist to take a look.
Hold on to yourselves. There's one more thing. A terrible presence is in there with her. So much rage. So much betrayal. I've never sensed anything like it. I don't know what hovers over this house, but it was strong enough to punch a hole into this world, take your daughter away from you. It keeps Caroline very close to it and away from the spectral light. It lies to her. It says things only a child can understand. It has been using her to restrain the others. To her, it simply is another child. To us, it is the beast.
Is there a voice better than hers?
There, here is the 69th greatest movie quote of all time.
It's one of the best movies ever. I remember getting scared out of my pants at that movie.
It holds up. I'm telling you, that is an excellent choice. If you haven't seen it in a long time, it way super good holds up.
And a bit of a real life curse on that movie, right? For the cast.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Many died prematurely.
Yeah.
So they say the movie is cursed. And you will be too if you watch it.
Oh, God.
Thanks for that.
Number 17.
I have seen the dark shadows moving in the woods, and I have no doubt that whatever I have resurrected through this book is sure to come calling for me.
It is Evil Dead. Now, and the original, the very first. Now, I was late to the party. I didn't see Evil Dead until about 10 years ago. So I get it, and it's basically a group of college kids decide to rent a cabin in the woods and spend the weekend drinking and playing cards and hanging out. So they get there, and they find a door in the floor, and they lift it up, and there's steps heading down to the basement. And they go down, and it's just a bunch of crap down there, but they find this book. A leather-covered book. So they take it upstairs, and they're looking at it, and they realize that what they thought was leather is actually human skin. Mm. Now, at that point, I would take the book back downstairs and be done with it. Human skin kind of throws a person off. Though right. They decided to open the book and read from it. When they did that, something in the woods came to life. Now, this is a possession movie. And I don't know what it is about it. It's badly acted. The special effects are awful. But there is something about this film that will crawl inside you. And that's why I included it. It is so very creepy. At one point, after they had read from the book, they're drinking and playing cards, except one of the girls is sitting across the room in a chair looking outside the window at the woods. No one notices when she starts to levitate in the air. She turns around to her friends and she says,
"Why have you disturbed our sleep? Awakened us from our ancient slumber. You will die like the others before you. One by one we will take you."
Not exactly the welcome wagon.
Well, and you know, I don't know if you ever saw Evil Dead 2, Mark, but it's basically a comedy.
Yes.
So, yeah, I don't know. There's like literally no thread between those two, is there?
No, there isn't. So I wouldn't even bother. 2 was all right, but this first one, Evil Dead, in its unique way, it really is creepy. The Los Angeles Times called the film an instant classic, proclaiming it as probably the grisliest well-made movie ever. Variety wrote that the powerful and inventive camera work was key to creating a sense of dread. Rotten Tomatoes gave it a 96.
Damn.
Wow. That's 1981.
Yeah, crazy. And finally,
number 16.
For generations, the Thornes have been a family of tremendous wealth, position, and power. The perfect marriage of Ambassador Robert Thorne and his wife Catherine was fulfilled by the birth of their son, Damien. And then, when the child was 5 years old, something terrible happened. It happened again. Was it an accident? Was it murder?
The original Omen. Or was it? Gregory Peck is so good in this, and the effects that they used are so very good. It's basically a very powerful politician and his wife. They have a child. They're unbeknownst to them, there is a swap at the hospital, and the child that they have is alleged to be the child of the devil. Strange things begin to happen. Damien turns 5. They're having a birthday party outside. The nanny starts calling to Damien. Everybody at the birthday party looks, and there's the nanny standing on the ledge of the house with a rope around her neck. She says, and she jumps. The original Omen, don't bother with the remake. To be honest, it was good, but the original is so great. We had never seen anything quite like it. And if you have not seen it ever, make sure you choose this one. But if you have seen it and not for a while, it is so freaking good. You have forgotten how good the original Omen was. William Holden, by the way, was considered for the lead role. He turned it down, claiming he didn't want to star in a film about the devil.
I'm telling you, at a kid's party, that gets so much more attention than a pinata. It steals the show. Yeah, oh, so it's tomorrow, so creepy.
Tomorrow, we give you 15 to 11, and I leave you in the words of Bram Stoker's Dracula, I want you to believe. I want you to believe in something that you can't possibly.